Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Would you turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy while you're standing? Do you have your Bibles? Just get your Bible and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, please. Today's about the promise. I want to talk to you today about where we're going, where I'm going. Somebody say, I'm going. I'm going. All you have to do is ask one of my grandkids right now, you want to go fishing? And my grandkids say, I'm going. If I ask you, you want to go to Dairy Queen right after church? You say, I'm going. I'm in. Somebody want to go swimming? I'm in. The promises of God, I'm going. I'm going there. That's where I'm going. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 22. Deuteronomy 6 and 22. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. Verse 23. But he brought us out. Everybody say, he brought us out. No, real loud, say, he brought us out. How many of you feel like by the hand of God you've been brought out? He brought you out, saved you. He brought us out from there to bring us in. Everybody say, to bring us in. All right, let's put it together. Say, he brought us out to bring us in. To bring us in and give us the land that he promised on oath to our forefathers. He's taken you somewhere. God bless you. You can be seated. Turn to chapter 8, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7. I'm talking about the promised land. We're going to read about the promised land. It was a physical place. How many of you know that Israel, the nation of Israel, occupies the Canaan land? It's the promised land. You can see on television, and if you watch certain religious broadcasts on television, they by times invite folks to go to the Holy Land. So there's a physical, geographical location called the Holy Land, the Promised Land. There's a place called Egypt. How many of you have known Egypt is in the news right now, big time? There's a big coup and an upheaval in Egypt. The children of Israel were in Egypt. The nation of Israel was in Egypt, and they were slaves. They were in bondage. And God promised that he was going to take them out of bondage into the Promised Land. And when they approached the promised land, God blessed Moses with such faith. He said, God brought us out of there to take us into there. Can I tell you that religion, somehow there's been a barrier in the minds of especially Western Christianity. We believe that God can save us. We believe that God can get us out of sin. We know that it's by the hand of the Lord. We know that it's by the blood of Jesus. We don't save ourselves. But going into the promised land seems to be such a mental barrier. It seems like we struggle to get into the kingdom. We struggle in our heads because the promised land is no longer a geographical location. It's a place of life. It's a place of thinking. It's the kingdom of God, and it's inside of you. So if you doubt God, if you wonder about, say, your forgiveness, I've done terrible things in my past, and sometimes it crosses my mind, some of the things that I've done. Things have happened to me. People did things and said things to me that scarred me. It's hard for me to get over in the promised land because of the way I think. Do you understand? And there are millions of dollars made every year by self-help books. Help you think right. Get your mind right. Get over it. Get better. We're not talking about physically. There are people here today, you physically look well. You're a fine physical specimen. In case nobody told you that yet today, you're beautiful. But in your mind, there's darkness and things that are twisted, and you can't get over it. And you don't live the life of freedom that God planned for you because you haven't quite crossed into the promised land. For the Israelites, Joy, the promised land was divided from the wilderness by a river, the Jordan River. And when they went over into the promised land and looked at what was in there, they saw walled cities and giants, and they said, we can't go there. And I'm going to talk to you today about obtaining the promise. Listen to what God said about the promised land in Deuteronomy 8:7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. Everybody say good land. It's a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where your bread will not be scarce. Somebody say thank God. Not be scarce. You will lack.
What?
You mean to tell me there's a place I can get where I don't feel like I'm lacking something? How many of you ever got the wants? Just got the wants on you. You didn't have a need. You just got the wants. Do you know that's why they advertise on television, put billboards by the street? You don't need it. Do you know why they make a Coke sweat down the outside of the glass? Do you know that I could talk about that right now and make you thirsty? Do you know that I can fill your mind with imaginations and you say, I wasn't thirsty not 15 seconds ago, but right now my tongue is getting drier by the moment. Creating want. And God said, I'm going to take you where you lack. Don't say loud, say nothing. You lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron, you could dig copper out of the hills. When you've eaten and are satisfied. Somebody say satisfied. How many of you ever overeat? How many of you wish you'd stop just the moment you were satisfied? How many of you know we'd all lose weight if we just quit eating right at that moment when we go, I'm fine. But no. When you've eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God. Thank you, Jesus, for the good land. There it is again. He's given you. Be careful that you don't forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, and when you build houses and settle down, when your herds and flocks grow large, everybody say large. This is not a skimpy, stingy, selfish, small God. When your herds are large and your silver and gold increase and you've multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you'll forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, thirsty and waterless land with venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. God wants it to be well with you. I want somebody to be well today. Douglas, I want you to be well. I'm saying in front of everybody, I understand the diagnosis and the prognosis. I understand cancer, and I know what pancreatic cancer means. But I'm standing here today. I'll be here next Sunday. I'll be here the week after that. I want you to be well. I'm praying God make you well. I'm praying God turn that thing around. That's what it says. It's his promise. You may say to yourself, my power and my strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. Joe, I'm sorry to pick on you. This is my buddy Joe, Michael's schoolmate from college. Hey, by the way, this is the guy that arranged for me to get that new Jeep that's sitting out there. Okay, Joe, they all know about it. They all know about you. Come here, Joe. One thing about Joe, his nickname's Cowboy. Okay, Joe's a healthy young man. Just turn this way, Joe. Okay. I want you to make your muscles, because it says if you think, that's okay, you're cool. It says if you think your might and your power, and I couldn't think of anybody but Joe and these shoulders right here. So Joe, why don't you give him one? Give me one of these. Come on. Flax them, baby. Whoa, look at them guns. God said to you people, if you think you did it, you think you did this, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this. Look what I'm doing. So don't forget, thanks Joe. Next verse. Remembers the Lord your God. For it is God that gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so confirms what? What's he going to do with that? He's going to confirm his covenant, which he swore as it is today. So when you feel good and everything's great, don't forget that it was God that brought you to this place. You didn't get here by yourself. Listen, he brought you out so that he could take you in. But he doesn't want you to forget that when the blessings and the promises of God are yours, that you forget God. How many of you have done that? I've done it. Man, I pray hard when I'm in trouble, but I forget God sometimes when things are well. And so the warning is, he's going to take you into this promised land. He's going to lead you into a place. But don't give the doctors credit, and don't give the medication credit, and don't give the pastor credit. Somebody say amen. Don't give the church credit. Don't say, you know, I happen to go to the right church, or I happen to visit the right doctor, or I've got an education. Just say, God did this. God Almighty has been gracious to me. He's been good to me. Can we give God credit for just a minute? Would you clap your hands and just give him credit? Just give him the credit. Thank you. Thank you. All right, so I'm talking about where we're going today. Here's where you are going. One more verse, Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Now, you need to make this transition with me. The Israelites moved from a physical place, from Egypt. They moved to the promised land, physically. They actually lived in houses and ate grain they didn't plant and drank from wells that they didn't dig. You understand? That is an example for us. We're not going to go and move from St. Paul or Twin Cities or the Minnesota to some better place physically. It's mentally. God wants to take you to a better place where you're thinking properly. You want to write this down? I've said this to you maybe two or three times. Some of you may forget this. I wrote this. This is a simple statement, but I made this up. I wrote this myself. Comparison is the enemy of joy. Comparison is the enemy of joy. You can have true joy until you see somebody that's better looking. You may have to look hard, but you can find somebody. Somebody's got something you don't have. Somebody that seems blessed. Jealousy would just eat your heart up. Comparison. You can compare and it just steal your joy. Improper thinking. No outside stimulus. Nothing happening in your world. But you can think wrong and get miserable. You can think a bad thought, a wrong thought, a negative thought, and suddenly you're negative. You can forget how blessed you are and complain about things that other people would be thankful for. Do you hear? Are you listening to me? It's the truth. But if you'll suddenly go, I'm going to go into the kingdom, I'm going to be thankful. In an instant, you can go from darkness to light. Watch me. You can go from Egypt to the promised land. You can go from negative to positive. Just a thought, just one good thought about God, just one thankful thought can take you from feeling real needy and not satisfied to this is all right, going to be all right. Listen to me. From the person here today who lives on the street to the poorest person here to the most wealthy person here, the difference in joy is a thought, not in stuff. Is that right or not? And the truth of the matter is, we are so blessed in this nation, we don't have anything at all to complain about. But it's amazing how if we start comparing ourselves to somebody else, it just gets inside you. You feel needy. I am so embarrassed. When I was 10 years old, I wanted for Christmas a battery-operated racetrack set. I don't know why I wanted a battery-operated. It's the dumbest thing in the world. Because if you can plug them in the wall, they last all day and all night. But if you get battery operated, you run the batteries down. And I wanted the battery operated one, and I don't know why, but I did. And when we had Christmas and I didn't get it, I cried. I remember, because I'm embarrassed to tell you, I cried. I was 10 years old, and I have grandkids right now, and they do stuff that bugs me, and I can't figure out what's the matter with them. And then I think I did that same thing. And what I did not know was that my grandfather and my mom had conspired to keep it in my grandpa's trunk of the car until all the gifts were open, and then they were going to give it to me. And so I was crying, and then I felt like an idiot. It wasn't the last time. But I thought, this is really, that was really dumb. They had it the whole time and I was whining. Can I tell you God's got it? Quit whining. You're thinking improperly. You got your mind on the wrong thing. I want you to look at Mark chapter 1:14. After John was put in prison, that's John the Baptist, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. Somebody shout the good news. Hey, if you'll shout fast and hard, we'll get out of here. Is anybody hot besides me? Verse 15. Somebody read with me verse 15. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. You are very near the kingdom. You're a thought away from the kingdom. He said, it's a good land. I'm going to provide for you. You're not going to be needy. I'm going to give you enough to satisfy you. You're going to be full. You're going to be on top, not the bottom. You're going to be the head, not the tail. So I'm going to give you some thought today, some words. I want you to think about these words. Here's where you're going. You're going into love. Somebody say love.
Love.
Love, true love. Where people love you, where you love. Where if you've been hurt, you recover and you love again, even though you've been hurt. You love. Where you feel loved. Where you can go to a church where there's, it doesn't matter what color you are and it doesn't matter where you live. You can say, man, I feel love. What a fulfilling, wonderful thing this is, this thing called love. You're going into a place of grace where something you didn't deserve is given to you. Where God just blesses you. He's good to you. How many of you know he was good to you when you were bad? Come on. The reason you're here today is because he stuck with you when you were a creep, when you were low down, when you were lying and cheating, and when you were doing everything wrong. He just hung in there with you until today you're sitting in church. How'd you get here today? How in the world did you get here? God had to have been gracious to you. You're going into a place of mercy. Somebody say mercy. When he doesn't give you what you deserve, God had mercy on you. Can I tell you that when I want justice, have you ever wanted justice? Did you ever go around somebody that was going too slow? And you wonder why cops don't stop folks for under the speed limit instead of over the speed limit. I won't go there. Forgiveness. Somebody say forgiveness. I'm going to get stuck on those two today, mercy and forgiveness. I'll come back in a moment. Fullness. Somebody say fullness. Somebody say content. Let me tell you, I know folks that thrive on discontentment. It's like they rule the party. They rule the restaurant. There's something wrong with something all the time. Really. Do you know people like that? They complain. Oh, this isn't the way I wanted it. They can't put the Big Mac patty on the bun straight enough for them. Freedom. Somebody say freedom. You are going into the kingdom where there's freedom. That makes me crazy because I was so insecure. Growing up, I felt so ashamed. I felt so belittled that I was afraid to let my voice be heard or to be seen. And now God brought me into the lights where I jump around, dance around. And I tell you every time I come to church, listen to this. Every time I come to this church, I get crazy because I'm free. And you are being set free. Past pain, past hurt, past disappointment wants to set you free so you can smile again and rejoice again and not let yesterday crawl into your tomorrow and ruin the rest of your life. Set me free, Lord. Set me free from that mess. Freedom. Somebody say blessing. Blessing, that's when he just gives you stuff. Just blessing. Joy. Would you just laugh out loud? Let me hear it again. Peace. Lori Sabin sings a song. I almost had her sing it today for somebody. That you would have peace. Just the peace of God. Peace when nobody else understands why you have it. There's a God who can breathe on you and bring peace. Peace to a situation. prosperity. He said, I want to bless you with gold and silver. You know, if God made some of you prosperous right now, you'd just buy more stuff. But when you get into the kingdom, you realize this is to establish his covenant. This is to be good to people. This is to help folks. This is for me to be a blessing. The book says there are people who keep back more than they ought to, and it's not good for them. And then there are people who give stuff away, and they always have more to give. Do you understand that prosperity, that true wealth, is a sense of peace and joy? It's not just the stuff you have. Hey, I got a new car. So you know that. Do you know that there have been two or three times when I've been in that car that I have parked it away from the door so I wouldn't get that car dinged by somebody else's car door? And while I walk through the 950-degree temperature and my feet are burning on the blacktop of that parking lot, I wonder to myself, why did I get a new car if I have to park it away from everything? I should be able to drive the thing, not walk away. Because you start thinking about stuff. Right? You start thinking about it. And it can make you crazy. So I washed the car, and my daughter said, Dad, because I wanted the children to take their shoes off. Put your shoes on the floor. Don't put your feet on the back of the seats. That's fair, isn't it? Except when you're going to kill somebody for it. I'm just telling you that stuff can get on your mind. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Some stuff you have, you need to let go and be free. You need to be blessed, prosperous, and at peace. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hope. It's going to give you hope. I have hope for you today. Hope. My God, what happens when hope fills a person that's in a situation that seems impossible, but hope gets in you? That's why David kills Goliath. That's why the little guy hangs in there. That's why people keep breathing, getting up in the morning. Why? Because I got a little bit of hope that things are going to work out. God's going to give me hope. Faith. Courage. Somebody shout courage. Oh, I'm getting courage in my life. Boldness. And those are the things he's taking you to, and he's bringing you out of weariness. Has anybody been weary? I don't mean just tired. Did you ever get weary? You're carrying the load, man. Some of you husbands need to shout amen right now. Carrying that family, carrying the load, you just get weary with it. You're weary. Selfishness. Ego. He's delivering you from ego. Some of you need to be delivered from your ego today. Somebody say, preach it. Your pride. He will deliver you. Isn't pride miserable? Honest to God. Isn't it miserable when you're just full of pride? You can't be taught. You can't listen to anybody. Nobody knows anything but you. And you are alone. There's only two of us going to heaven, and I'm wondering about you now. Prejudice. Boy, there's a bunch of stuff on TV right now with this Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman case. Prejudice. Boy, that fires me up, you guys. Fires me up. Prejudice. Want. Addiction. Yesterday I met for quite a while with a young man who visits our church who's addicted to cocaine. And we were talking about setting up barriers, how to set up barriers to keep him from falling to his addiction. I had a long conversation with a young woman that is a part of our church who's an alcoholic and chemical addictions. If there's anything at all like Egypt, if there's anything at all like slavery, if there's anything that's true bondage, it's addiction. That's like bondage. It's hard to get out of. You can't do it by yourself. It seems like we need help. The problem is there's more addictions than just chemical abuse, alcohol. We talk about it a lot, nicotine, different things that get a hold of people. You can be addicted to negativity. You can be addicted to living a lifestyle where you just doubt, which is the first thing that comes to your mind. And God has come to set you free today. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes now before I finish, and I hope to be done early today. I want to read from Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. I want to talk to you today about crossing over into the promised land. Matthew chapter 18. And I need to make this major point. I may be able to finish this today. I hope to get this across today. In the Bible, there are great stories, great stories. All of the great stories in the Bible have a specific person, a specific place, and a specific time. But in the Bible, all of the great stories are foundational, something that you can relate to. There are stories that I don't relate to. Some of them are great stories to know, but they're not the great stories. And they all point to Jesus and point to the kingdom. Okay? We're about to read a story, and I want you to know that forgiveness, now get this with me, and if you get it, raise your hand, say amen, nod your head, something. Forgiveness is more than just receiving it, but when you really get into the kingdom, you're able to give it. And it's a real barrier to forgive somebody. I'm able to receive forgiveness from God. Terry isn't feeling well today, and she was still asleep when I left this morning, so I can talk about her. And don't you tell her. I have a problem by times forgiving Terry. I live with her. I know her. We've been together a long time. I receive forgiveness better than I give it. I just ask if anybody would get that, if they'd nod their head or say amen or something. I struggle forgiving. So now listen, watch, you've got to watch this. This is so important. Forgiveness from God is what gets me out of sin. It's what got me out of Egypt. He forgave me. Right? I'm coming out. Everybody say out. But he didn't bring me out just to leave me out. He brought me out to take me in. So for me to go in, Lori, is not to get forgiveness, Brian, but it's to forgive. And now I'm stuck in my head. Now I'm stuck. Now it's like the Jordan River's in front of me and I don't want to go over there. And now, Craig, it's too hard for me. The giants in the land. I know God promised me the promised land, but the stuff I have to get over there, that's too big for me. I like coming out, but man, it's hard to go in. Oh, I love the feeling of forgiveness. Almost every Sunday, almost every service of my life now, I deal with forgiveness, and I am thankful that he brought me out. Almost every service, right? And when we start singing, I'm crossing over Jordan, and I'm going in, there's a whole new thing that I want to bring to you today, and that is that to get in, you have to get over the barriers in your mind that you got to forgive now. Oh, boy. Here we go. Matthew 18, 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? 7? Come on, everybody, ask 7 to me. Just say 7? How about 7? How's that a good number? How many times do I have to forgive Terry? God, 7? Jesus answered, oh no, somebody say, oh no. I tell you, oh God, not 7. I'm going to cover my mouth up like this. Not 7. 77. Ah! How many of you have another translation besides the New International Version? Then it says 70 times. Has anybody got that one? That's why I don't read from that Bible, because one Bible says 70 times 7. That's 490. I ain't even reading that one. Help me, somebody. I'm going to tell you what's bad. My Bible's got a little marking, and it takes me to the center column, and it says, truly translated, 70 times 7. Oh, I like coming out. Forgive me, Jesus. Thank you. You're so faithful for forgiving me. He brings me to the Jordan. He shows me the promised land, all these big cities and giants. He said, let's go in there. We can do this. And I'm going, how many times? You want me to forgive her how many times? And you wonder why you don't go to the kingdom. It's not because he can't forgive you. It's because you got to get over in your head all of the process of forgiveness. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven, which is where we're going, is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Does anybody have a Bible that has any kind of an indication how much that is? 10,000 talents. My Bible says it. Anybody out there say it? It's millions. The guy owed the king. Somebody say millions. Millions. And he was brought to the king. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. He's losing everything. The servant fell on his knees. "Be patient with me," he begged. "I'll pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him. Watch this. And canceled the debt. Oh my God. He didn't say, "All right, we'll give you some time." He canceled the debt. That's me. He canceled the debt. Hallelujah. You talk about freedom. I want to get a new license plate if I can. This was what I determined yesterday. First thought. Haven't got license plates on the car. And I want, if it's not already taken somewhere in the state of Minnesota, IOZIP. IOZIP. I'm driving down the road, had that thought yesterday. Gonna get me a license plate. So when people pull up behind my car, it says IOZIP. I'm in the promised land. God's taking care of me. Okay, let's get off of that. Here's the point. The guy owed millions, and he said, "I cancel the debt." Moving on. "But when that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants," which is us, you and me, "who owed him 100 denarii, he grabbed him and began to choke." That's violent. He grabbed the guy and started choking him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient and I will pay you back." Sounds like the same thing he said. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw that what had happened, they were greatly distressed. They went and told the master everything that happened. And the master called the servant and said, "You wicked servant, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm teaching you today. It's hard. This is a hard, hot July day. If you're going to rejoice over forgiveness, then by God, to enter the kingdom, you must forgive. You've got to let it go. The whole debt, don't hold anything over their head. Every time they see you, they don't have to look down at the ground. They don't have to worry about you calling them again. You can't keep bringing it up. You got to let it go. There are people that don't go to church today because they kept facing the problems in their past and folks wouldn't let it go. And we Pentecostals, we built hoops for people to jump through to prove that they meant they were sorry. Huh? I'm telling you, I hope nobody, just for just a minute, see if you can just be separated from everybody so you're not touching anybody for just a minute. Don't touch anybody. I'm telling you, we, each of us, you, me, we must forgive to get into the kingdom. It's not a law. It's not Old Testament. It's not going back to the other covenant. For me to live free with love and joy and peace, prosperity, freedom, I got to forgive. That's what you got to do to get over there. One more verse. One more chapter. John 8, verse 1. John chapter 8. If I'm telling the truth, would you say amen?
Amen.
I'm trying to get you into the kingdom. I'm not trying to get you to join this church. I don't care what church you go to. This is a good one. It's not the only good one. But if you're going to go into the kingdom, you need to know this. This is you and God. Forgiven, and I am forgiving. John chapter 8, verse number 1. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him. I need 15 people to jump up real quick. 15, just jump up here. Come on, come here, come here. Come by me, come by me, come by me, come by me. Come up here, come here, come here. 15 of you, stand right here. Come here, hurry. 5 more, 6 more, 6 or 7 more. Come over here as a crowd facing them. Come this way and face that way. Come over here, come over here. 2 more, 2 or 3 more. That's right, 2 or 3 more. Come on, Joe. Come on, come on, come on. Right over here. Okay. Okay. So here he is. He's in the temple just like this. Oh, no. Get in a crowd. Kind of make a crowd. Yeah, no, not so organized. Just kind of a crowd. Step a little bit. Yeah, there you go. Okay. Very good. There they are. Here we go. So Jesus is talking to these people. That's what it says. He gathered around him and he sat down to teach. Okay? Y'all watch. And it's agreed on. Let's go on. Go as I read, please. Verse 3. Teachers of the law and Pharisees. I need two of those. Who's some teachers of the law? Two men, Ray and Joe. Come here. Ray and Joe. Come help me. Come help me. You get ready. Okay. Come up here.
So that's
come here, come here, come here. Here, these guys know the law. They know the rules of the church. And it says they caught a woman taken in adultery. Come here. Because Mary is beautiful and she's pure and she can handle this. Grab her by the arm, boys. Grab her by the arm and lead her up here. Grab her in here. Here they come. Mary, you can't be smiling. You can't be smiling, Mary. You are in trouble. Caught her in adultery, and they made her stand in front of the whole crowd. That's right. Good, Joe. Do that. Get mad. You guys get mad. And they made her stand in front of the whole crowd. Read on. The teachers brought her in. Verse 4. Said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery." Pointing at him. Point at me, point at her, point at me, point at me, and everybody rub your chin and get sad and go, "Oh my God, we got a problem in front of everybody. We're embarrassing Mary. The law, Moses commanded us to stone her. Now what do you say?" This is what Moses said. What do you say? This is what the old covenant said. What do you say? They're using the question to trap him in order to have a basis to accuse him. Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. Read on. When they kept questioning him, he straightened up and he said, "All right, anybody who is without sin, you be the first one to throw a stone at her." Read on, verse 8. Then he stooped down and he wrote in the ground. Read on. At this, those who heard began to go away. Go on, Joe. The oldest and then the other ones. Until only Jesus was left, and the woman is standing there. Read on. Jesus straightened up and said, "Woman, where are they? Where are they? Has nobody accused you? Where are your accusers? Has anybody condemned you?" "No, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin." I want you to have mercy on people. It's time to have mercy on people. Look me in the eye. Guilty people. Guilty people. I want to look right at you. Guilty people. You want to know how to get into the kingdom? You want to experience real freedom? You want to know what joy feels like from the Spirit of God? You have mercy on somebody that's guilty. Not the good ones. I don't want this church filled with good people. I've been in those kind of churches. I want people that are guilty that have been forgiven. I want folks that say, "He gave me mercy," because those people are thankful people. They're joyful people. And the only difference between that group and the people in the kingdom would be if you can give it. Can you give it after you got it? Can you just right now say, "Lord, make me merciful"? Instead of joining in solidarity all the cars that are in line, let that guy in. Have mercy on the woman. She didn't know where she was. She wants to get on this exit, but all the cars, have you ever done it? Just keep sneaking closer so that car can't get in there. Why, if they were, they know if they went in this lane, they should have got in way back there. Somebody help me. Help me. I'm talking about where you know in your spirit. If you back off a little, let that person in, you go, "Oh, yeah." And the next time you're trying to sneak in there, you're praying, "God, I want to reap what I sow." Help me get in that line before I miss my exit. Am I right or not? Have mercy on us, Lord. And Lord, help us. I am telling you today, I'm giving you keys to the kingdom. You want to have joy? You want to have peace? Have mercy. Forgive people. Stand with me. This is real life lessons, you guys. This is stuff that will change you. You'll live longer. This will make your stomach feel better. I'm preaching to you today stuff that will make you smile when you lay down in bed at night, and you'll think of something good you did instead of something wrong. I'm talking about you treating people well till folks want to be with you. Yeah. Folks are attracted to you. People want to come near you because you're so kind and you're forgiving. Yes. And you're merciful. So I told this young man yesterday, as we talked about ways to keep him from his cocaine addiction, I told him, you, sir, are fighting the giants in the promised land.
That's true, Pastor.
That's what he's doing. You're not really trying to get out of Egypt. God brought you out. But what you're doing is trying to find that place of peace and contentment where that addiction doesn't drive you nuts. Where you don't have to hide. Can I tell you that this isn't new, it's not first day, but I'm tired of hiding. Pastors are schooled to stay distant from people in their churches so that the people don't get too familiar with them. And I reversed that.
Thank you.
And I said, I want rid of this desk, and I want rid of these steps, and I don't want this microphone. I want to be where you are so you know who I am. Because I got tired of hiding. I got tired of acting and being a devil in my car and cutting folks off and not letting anybody in and being mean.
Tell the truth, Pastor.
So two mornings ago, the Holy Ghost said, I forgave you, and Terry's been treating me good, y'all. She's been treating me good. Good. I mean good. Real good. And it was in the morning, and he said to me, you have to forgive if you're coming into the kingdom. I thought it was get forgiveness, and I thought it was let him have mercy on me. No, it's when you have mercy that you think right. Am I right or not? Put your hand on your forehead right here. Just lay your hand on your head. I want to pray for you as if I was touching you. Lord, I'm praying for the heart and mind of every person under the sound of my voice. In great church services, we have times when we pray for people for specific things, but right now, we're praying for ourselves. We're laying hands on ourselves. Would you set us free from pride and ego? Would you set us free from the chains of unforgiveness so that you'd be glorified in our lives so that we would be free. Forgive me for not forgiving. Have mercy on me. I have not been merciful. You forgave me millions. Please help me to forgive so I'm like you. Set us free today in our minds. In Jesus' name. Now I want you to keep your eyes closed for a moment. You can take your hand down, but I want you to make this confession with me. I want us to confess together. Dear Lord Jesus, I forgive, even as I have been forgiven. Father, I will practice mercy, just like you had mercy on me. I'm thankful for your mercy. I want to be merciful. I'm thankful for forgiveness. I want to forgive. I'm crossing over the Jordan. I'm coming into the promised land today. Today, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.